the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
In a bar, a bartender passes a beer to a man who passes it to another.
I should have told you to get two.
No, it's too many people.
Way too many old people.
Hey, we're showing.
Two guesses.
Yo, I swear he finishes his, he ain't getting any of mine. Hey, get us a place up close.
The other nods. In the bathroom, the second man walks in as another is bent over the sink.
Come on, self-control, man.
Look, he's talking.
Listen, when the music starts, I'm the one who's gonna be flying, and I don't share.
Not even for baby brother?
I'm serious, man.
All right, well, one more hit.
I swear this, I'm not missing the opening. Damn, we already missed it.
They rush to the bathroom window and see metal bars across it. Later, outside.
I'm trying to find Rick. He went for a drink. The crowd was pushing. I didn't know what happened. I kept yelling at people to get off me so I could find him. I don't even know if he's okay. Nobody will tell me anything.
Well, they've already taken a bunch of people to the hospital, so it's going to take some time to sort it out.
He didn't even want to come here tonight.
Were you able to see how it started?
Why did this go bowling? Ricky? Oh, Ricky!
Noise, dope, and fire. Same old Votan.
You heard of Votan?
I worked security at the Garden 20 years ago. Hey, Williams.
Quite a mess.
You want to give us a tour?
Sure, if you feel like having a ceiling collapse on your head. Should be safe in a couple of hours.
How many people were in the club?
Between 300 and 400. Paramedics have already taken at least 70 people to 3 hospitals. Burns and smoke inhalation mostly. Broken bones from the pushing and shoving.
I'd say we're lucky there weren't more fatalities.
Two firemen bring a body out on a stretcher.
Typical Friday night.
Yeah, in Tel Aviv.
The body is placed next to others on the sidewalk. New York City skyline is lit up at night. Police officers work the city streets. The word law moves in front of a squad car, and a man is led away in handcuffs. Detective Lenny Briscoe's tie is loosely knotted around his open shirt collar. Detective Eddie Green is neatly dressed, and Lieutenant Anita Van Buren is in her office. The word order appears in front of a courthouse, and a U.S. flag waves. Scenes from a courtroom are shown. Executive Assistant D.A. Jack McCoy is leaning on his desk. Assistant D.A. Serena Sutherland and D.A. Arthur Branch are in their offices. Law and order. The detectives and assistant D.A.s walk down a hallway together.
It's gonna be hours before I can get you in there. Bunch of cretins. It's like tossing a match into a haystack.
They don't have sprinklers?
They're not required in a public facility with a maximum occupancy of 74 or less.
Wait, didn't you say there were between 300 and 400 people in there?
The nitwit at the door didn't major in math. That gets the owner fine. Can you imagine? 9 bodies were found near the front doors, trampled, trying to get out.
There had to be other doors, right?
Sure, in the back. Nobody could see them. Exit signs were dark.
Well, that's got to be a code violation.
Bad light bulb gets them fine number 2.
23 people dead. Somebody's going to do more than pay a couple of bucks.
That's when you go right to the needle. Do not pass go. Do not pay $200.
Let me ask you this. How'd the man get out?
3 of them through doors backstage.
And the fourth?
He was one of the 23. Bass player. Larry something. Look, as soon as I know what started this mess, I'll call you.
Well, I'm no expert, but I saw these guys a half a lifetime ago. Back then, they always lined the stage with flamethrowers.
They still do. Prometheus 530 flame projectors, to be precise. The thing is, there's no way that Prometheus should spit out fire high enough to hit the ceiling.
What's the ceiling got to do with it?
Made of polyurethane.
Which burns fast as hell.
That's the manager over there. Name's Champa.
Thanks.
Mr. Champa.
This is a nightmare. My life savings was in that club.
Really? I know 23 families who really don't give a damn.
Of course I feel for those people, but what could I have done?
Well, first you could have checked to see if your ceiling was flammable.
Look, the neighbors complained about the noise, so I put up soundproofing. The guy who sold it to me never said anything.
Another thing, you shouldn't have hired a band that plays with fire.
I don't. I mean, all that crap is specifically prohibited in the artist's contracts.
And Votan signed this contract?
Sure, man. They wanted to get paid.
Later at the Manhattan Terrace Hotel.
People say Jack Bruce can play bass. But they never listen to Larry, you know, like really listen to Larry. he was just a whole nother planet. I can't believe that he's gone.
Along with 22 paying customers.
What do you mean by that?
Look, Mr. Connor, for $10 a ticket, people don't expect to get barbecued.
You're blaming us for this?
Your contract did specifically say no fireworks.
Well, I didn't know that.
No, I bet you read the part about how much you guys were going to get paid.
Matter of fact, I didn't. Because Maxie takes care of that.
Maxie?
Our manager, Maxie.
Fire is Votan's trademark. Kiss has the makeup, Townsend smashes his guitars. Rock and roll isn't just about the music, it's the show, it's the spectacle.
Unfortunately, this spectacle doesn't allow Fire.
Oh, yeah, right. That is the same mumbo-jumbo in every contract and every punk-ass club in America.
And you always ignore it?
Look, a club hires Votan, they hire the whole package. Very bright lights, very loud music.
Very big flames.
The fans expect it. If we didn't give it to them, hell, they'd walk out. Yeah, we signed the contract. But the club owner, like every other club owner in America, gives us the big wink-wink when we did.
You saying that he knew that Voltan was going to use fire in the act?
Of course he did. We used it the night before. No complaints then. No problems either. Hey, after 26 years, we know what we're doing. Our stuff didn't burn that place down.
Who's in charge of your stuff?
These guys went to Juilliard. They're really good musicians. Nobody paid any attention to their music until we started lighting up the stage. I kept telling them we didn't need a gimmick for Teddy. Ah, what difference does it make now, huh?
Well, actually, it makes a huge difference now, Nick.
Got a Dameron.
God bless you.
It's a German opera. Votan and the other gods. At the end, they all die in this amazing fire.
Hey, hold on. Are you saying that Teddy wanted to die?
No, I'm not. He just wouldn't let go of this pyro mythology.
And you're the guy who kept his dream alive?
Yeah, I'm the guy. But I set up the equipment before they went on stage, just like I do every night. And I'm the guy who hit the on switch. There's no way we caused this thing.
At the precinct house.
23 people are dead because of an opera.
The Germans, what are you going to do?
I'll tell you what the taxpayers want me to do. They want me to string someone up. That's what.
And we would like nothing more than that. But the problem is who? Votan violated a contract. They didn't bring no laws.
The fire marshal can't say how or when the damn thing started. For all we know, somebody in the crowd lit a candle.
The bottom line is, ain't nobody saw nothing.
Someone did. This is a transcript of one of the 32 911 calls. I'm at Danzibar.
That's the club.
There's a fire on the stage.
At the apartment of Teresa Drosy.
I freaked. I saw it on the news, but the hospitals weren't giving out names. That's the last time I let her go to one of those things.
Everything went dark. The only thing that you could see was fire. People were screaming. I didn't know what to do. People were crawling on the floor. Larry's hair was on fire. I tried to help this one girl, and I grabbed her wrist, and her skin came off in my hand.
Do you really have to do this now?
I'm okay.
Briscoe looks at Teresa and nods reassuringly.
I had my cell in my purse, and I called 911 right away. I didn't know what else I could do.
That's all you could do. Now, in your call, you said the stage was on fire?
Yeah, that's right.
Did you see how the fire actually started?
It just looked like all of their other concerts.
She looks down in her lap.
Except
what?
They always start with Larry and James at the mic. With Votan. That's Teddy.
And what about last night?
Larry, the bassist.
She shakes her head slowly.
He didn't move.
If I'm the stage, which side is he on?
Teresa signals the left side.
You can see this is hard for her.
She did great. We're done. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The girl was right. The fire did start on the left side of the stage.
Accident?
You tell me. Gaines, these are the detectives working on the Danzibar fire. Show them what you've got.
I've been trying to replicate the conditions that started the fire using the 6 throwers recovered from the site. They work with this flammable black powder. You pack it in like this.
Looks like a giant M80.
This one doesn't blow up, just flames up.
They step back, and Gaines presses a button. A flame shoots several feet out of the device.
given the layout of the stage, there's no way that flame could have reached the ceiling. On five of the throwers, anyway.
What about the sixth one?
That's a whole other ball of wax.
That's the one that was on the left side of the stage?
That would be correct. See this residue burnt into the metal of the cylinder? It goes twice as high as in the others, above the level of the electric fuse. This one burned twice as hot as it's supposed to.
What are you saying? It was defective?
Even if it was, it couldn't burn that hot without twice as much powder.
You mean it was packed wrong?
I mean it was packed twice. Somebody wanted this thing to burn big.
The detectives are in an interrogation room with Nick.
Why don't you take us through your night, Nick?
What do you mean?
Well, you got to the club, you blew your nose, whatever.
I got there about 8 o'clock. Throwers were locked in storage in the back of the club because we used them the night before. I took them out. I loaded them, same as always.
Was this before or after a couple of tokes?
I don't do that, man. I'm clean since 94.
Keep going.
I set them on stage, the same places as always.
Did you test them?
Well, why would I? They work fine the night before.
Okay, that gets us to 10 o'clock. The band went out about 11. What'd you do for that hour? Read a book?
Why is he talking to me like that?
Because you killed 23 people, Nick. That gets me a little agitated.
I told you.
What are you, some kind of sick bastard that likes to watch things burn?
Lenny!
Briscoe glares at Nick.
Okay. So what'd you do next?
I set up the lights.
And how long did that take you?
I don't know, 40, 45 minutes maybe.
So you were done 15 minutes before showtime?
Yeah, like always.
So there were 15 minutes where somebody could have rigged the thrower?
Why would anybody do that?
Well, right now I'm more interested in who.
You're giving this Yahoo too much credit, Ed.
It wasn't me, okay? These guys pay me. It's a steady gig. Why would I risk blowing that?
The thrower started the fire. You loaded the thrower.
I'm not the only one who knows how. We've been doing this a long time. I told you guys, these guys are in the flames.
Nick looks at Briscoe, then Green, and shakes his head slightly.
I mean, they all know how to work the equipment.
Briscoe and Green look at each other.
Do you believe him?
I think he's scared of his own shadow.
I don't recall anyone giving medals for bravery to arsonists.
Well, what else is a dude like this going to do for money? I mean, he had to know that that would put Botan out of business, the fire part of the show anyway. I don't think he'd risk it.
He might if he didn't know the ceiling was flammable.
You play with fire, you don't get the benefit of the doubt.
True, but think about this. The flamethrower that was tampered with was right next to Larry.
Who's Larry?
Larry's the bass player that didn't follow the normal routine that night.
Which put him directly in the hot zone. Flame hit the ceiling over his head and it came down on him.
And who knew Larry wasn't going to be where he was supposed to be? Let's find that out.
You're saying somebody was out to get Larry?
No, we're just asking questions.
Botan opens the show the same way every night. Teddy, James, and Larry at the mic center stage. The one night they change...
Oh, you think one of the guys?
Like I said, we're just asking.
Come on, these guys love each other like brothers.
Hey, I love my brother, but I can barely make it through Thanksgiving dinner.
You spend every night together for 26 years. Somebody is bound to get on somebody else's nerves.
Yeah, they've had their disagreements, sure, but nothing to kill over.
Why don't you let us be the judge of them?
Well, nothing recently. No, it couldn't be.
What?
When we got back to New York, Larry was banging Teddy's broad.
Teddy's broad? Is that how she's listed in the phone book?
Debbie something or other.
Well, we're getting closer.
Grimes. She lives down in Soho somewhere, I think.
With Debbie.
Larry was a great man, the best.
I assume you're talking about his bass playing.
Hey, I'm not crude. The guy is dead. Let's show some respect.
My partner's just a little old-fashioned. He just thought that you moving from Teddy to Larry might have brought on some hard feelings between the two of them.
Well, he's a dinosaur. Look, I was happy when Teddy remembered my name, okay? These guys, they don't fight over babes. When they got back to the city, I think it was CBGB's. I went to Teddy's dressing room, like always. Knocked on the door, but he was otherwise occupied.
You got a name?
Of which one?
I knew I should have stuck with the guitar.
You always go backstage?
Yeah, so?
You were there the night of the fire?
Sure.
Who else was there with you?
The guys and chicks.
You remember any names?
One of them I do. Terry. She's like always there.
Terry? She's got a pierced eyebrow, long brown hair.
Yeah, that's her.
That's the girl who called 911. Sounds to me like you're a regular at these Botan gigs.
I like their music.
A lot of people like their music, Teresa. They don't all get backstage passes.
What are you, my dad or something? Look, I'm not the first girl to like hanging out with musicians. There's no sex or anything. I just party with them, and that's as far as it goes.
Why didn't you tell us you were in their dressing room the first time we talked?
So my mother was standing right there, remember? But do you guys really think I had something to do with that fire?
No. But now that we got all our cards on the table, maybe you can help us find out who did.
Let me ask you this. 15 minutes before the band goes on, who's backstage with you?
The band.
Come on.
Nick, a couple of new girls. Pete, Glenn.
Who?
The roadies. You know, Mitch wasn't there.
Who's Mitch?
The sound guy.
Later, Briscoe and Green are Burlingham Sound.
That's right. I wasn't partying. Someone in that damn crew has to do some work.
So you were busy turning dials, huh?
Something like that. You know, in the long run, it's time to hang up the old spurs. And all that traveling was getting to me. This is where I belong.
Turning dials.
You know, that was funny once.
What about the dials on the flamethrower? You turn them too?
Screw you.
Well, you see, that kind of attitude is going to get you in trouble.
You know, it turns out everybody but you was in Teddy's room partying before the show.
Really? Look, I didn't mess with the throwers.
But I have a feeling he knows who did, don't you, Ed?
Come on, Mitch.
Green approaches Mitch.
Give us a hint.
Teddy. Man, he thought we still should be playing the garden. Small wasn't good enough for him. I mean, I told him, let's go unplugged, that'd be cool, right?
Mitch.
The fire. Teddy was crazy about it. He wanted big, like the old days. He said, if we think big, if we act big, we'll be big.
So he wanted bigger pyro.
Mitch nods.
I think he told him. Clubs we played now, couldn't handle it.
That must have pissed Eddie off.
Tell me about it. Just before the last gig, the sound of a bitch told me to rig the throwers.
So you were just following orders?
Hey, I don't mess with that crap. I did my thing.
When you left, where was Teddy?
Mitch thinks a moment.
On stage. Alone.
Dude is just a washed-up wannabe who's trying to return to his rightful spot at the top of the rock and roll food chain.
It would have been a lot safer to write a couple of new songs.
Hey, you ever listen to any of their music?
See, that's the thing. Whatever Stardom Votan had, it ain't because of their music. It's because of their live shows. Connor thought if he made a big enough bang with the press and his fans that he could hawk the tour bus and start riding private jets again.
So he burned down a club?
Hey, Ozzy bit off a bat's head.
He wanted more fire. I doubt he thought it through.
Guys, we can't arrest a man on motive alone.
All the physical evidence went up in smoke, so to speak.
The guy who works the equipment says that Connor begged him to rig the thrower, and when he refused, he asked the sound guy.
Who will testify that he left Connor alone on the stage before the show.
Look, does this Connor know how to operate this doohickey?
Yeah, like playing a C chord.
All right, let's light a fuse under this moron and see how loud he screams.
Stop! Damn it, Max! I said bigger! Bigger! Doesn't anybody do bigger anymore?
Hey, I hear they got a lot of big guys to choose from up in arsoning.
What?
Teddy Connor, you're under arrest for arson and murder 23 times.
Well, that's got a nice beat, and you can dance to it.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you in a court of law.
Docket number 832677, People v. Third O'Connor. One count of arson in the first degree, 23 counts of murder in the first degree.
Didn't your mother teach you about playing with matches?
Your Honor might not recognize my client, but he is...
Oh, yes, she does. I sat in the mud at Roosevelt Race way back in 79. You were 3 hours late, Mr. Connor.
I hope Your Honor will approach this with an open mind.
Not to worry, Counselor. That's where I met my husband. How do you plead?
Not guilty.
Miss Sutherland?
The people request remand, Judge. The enormity of the crime itself...
is irrelevant.
But the defendant's financial means isn't. He's a flight risk, Your Honor.
10 years ago, maybe. Yes, Mr. Connor has made a great deal of money in his career, but he has spent more. He can barely make ends meet.
Why should he be any different? Bail is set at $500,000 cash or bond.
Bad things happen, Jack. They're not always criminal.
23 corpses is more than a bad thing.
It was an accident, an act of God, not a murder.
If God wanted that club to burn, he wouldn't have used a flamethrower.
Are you saying that someone screwed with our equipment?
No, I'm saying you did, Mr. Connor.
Oh, this is crazy.
As a crime is what it is. Don't you see what happens here, Jack? A high-profile client like Teddy Connor, the mere fact that he's arrested makes him guilty in the eyes of the public.
Actually, it's the jury he should worry about.
The jury I can handle. What happens when he's acquitted? Who's going to a Votan concert now you've ruined his good name?
Who are you kidding? Notoriety sells tickets.
Well, we're not going to take that chance. When Mr. Connor is acquitted, I want there to be a fully public record.
She puts a document before Jack.
I motion to let TV cameras in the courtroom. The world's going to watch this one, Jack. If I were you, I'd get a new suit.
Teddy smiles as he gets up to leave. Chambers of Judge Delano Burns.
Counsel is wasting everyone's time. Section 52 of the New York Civil Rights Law specifically prohibits cameras of any sort in the courtroom.
And said law was passed in 1952. It's about time New York made that giant leap into the 21st century. We are one of only 9 states that have a per se ban.
And I'm sure that Ms. Teller is aware, making that leap is the bailiwick of the legislature and not a trial court judge.
It is when a statute violates the First Amendment, which requires that criminal trials be open to the press, unless there are compelling and clearly articulated reasons for closing such proceedings. This is a high-profile case, Your Honor. Surely press from around the planet will be intent on reporting it. Obviously, our meager courtrooms will not permit.
I'm not concerned about the press. I'm concerned about a fair trial, which means keeping the hoopla to a minimum. Albany obviously shares that concern.
You are putting a rock star on trial. Hoopla is a foregone conclusion. Your Honor, there is precedent ignoring the statutory ban. New York v. Boss, People v. Barron.
What's really going on here, Counselor?
If my client is to be crucified because he's a public figure, the least I can ask is that the public bear witness.
Judge Burns thinks a moment.
What the hell? It's about time we got those old boys in Albany off their butts.
Your Honor!
Come on, Jack. Who's it gonna hurt?
Jack is with Arthur and Serena.
Well, what are you going to do? The Sixth Amendment says public trial, and that's what he's entitled to.
You commending a judicial activist?
That's what appeals are for.
The cameras have to affect the way people behave.
You mean they'll actually tell the truth?
I mean it's not okay for the medium to be the message in the courtroom.
Is this SOB guilty?
Yes.
Can you prove it?
I think so.
In my advice, get a new suit and enjoy.
In the courtroom.
It's clear from mere visual inspection that the flamethrower in question emitted a stronger flame than the others on stage.
How much stronger?
The others reached a maximum heat of 300 degrees Fahrenheit. This one, I'd guess, was close to 600.
Would that create a bigger flame?
Yes, in the same proportion. It would be twice as big.
Could this happen through a malfunction?
No. In my opinion, the only way this could happen is for the flame projector to be filled with twice the combustible material.
Thank you.
Did you check the flamethrower in question for fingerprints?
That wouldn't be feasible.
Why not?
It's covered in carbon.
From the subsequent fire?
That's correct.
So there is no scientific evidence indicating who it was who added the extra combustible material?
No.
Teddy's attorney nods and sits back down.
I've been on the road with Votan for over 20 years, since back when they were known as Kane's Ire. We played the largest arenas in the world.
And your effects were bigger back then?
Yes. At a place like the Meadowlands, Teddy said we needed spectacle. And that's what they gave us.
For example?
We had a thrower that would shoot flames 20 feet up in the air. We called it the Pillar of Fire. We used gerb fans, flash reports, you name it. Teddy always wanted to push the envelope and I have to admit, I got a kick out of it, too.
What would happen if you used that kind of equipment in the smaller clubs you play now?
They wouldn't even fit on the stage.
Did the defendant want to push the envelope in his recent gigs?
Yeah, sure, we talked about it. You know, bring back the pillar. He said the gags would put asses in the seats.
And he wasn't concerned about the safety of those asses?
That was my job. He wanted me to go bigger. I wouldn't.
Sounds to me like you missed the good old days.
Well, sure, who doesn't?
20-foot flames must get your juices going.
Objection.
Sustain.
Jack sits back down.
You testified that the defendant asked you to increase the fireworks at recent shows. Is that correct?
Yeah. He asked for bigger flames.
Did he ever say why?
Publicity. You know, bring back the good old days.
To play big stadiums again.
That's right.
You know, Mr. Stoller, I've been listening to you very carefully, and whenever you spoke about the band, you say we.
I don't know. I've been with them 20 years.
You play guitar, do you?
No.
Keyboards?
I don't play an instrument.
That's right. Your job is to play with fire.
She nods and sits down at the defense table.
I was the last one on stage before the show. I test volume, make sure the cable's out of the way so nobody trips or anything.
And you're alone when you do this?
Nick and I usually do our things together. He finishes up before me, though.
And the night of the tragedy at Dan's bar?
Teddy was there with us. He was pissed off because the gig the night before didn't pull in capacity. He thought that we needed to shake things up a bit, you know, to bring us back to the big time. He asked Nicky to up the amps on the fire stunts.
And Nicky refused?
He said no way. The ceilings in that club would be a disaster.
And what happened next?
Well, Nicky finished up with the flamethrowers and left. Teddy told me to add some more powder to the throwers, but I heard what Nicky just told him, so I said, no way. He said just upping one of the throwers would be cool. I told him I wasn't touching the thing. Then I left.
And the defendant was on stage alone?
As far as I know.
Jack turns and moves to sit at the prosecution's table.
You're a sound man, aren't you?
That's right.
Why would Mr. Connor think to ask you to rig the flamethrowers?
The models we use now, it's not really brain surgery. We all knew how they worked.
Who, exactly?
Teddy, Larry, Burley, James, Peter, and Glenn, and probably Maxie, too, all of us.
I see. Now, when you left the stage, prior to the show, you don't know how long the defendant remained there, do you?
No.
And you can't say if Larry or Burley or James or Maxie showed up after he left?
No.
Mitch shakes his head as he answers, and the defense counsel retakes her seat.
It was dark. Then the curtains came up.
Were the band members on the stage?
They were sort of back near the drums.
And then?
Then James played a loud chord, and, they moved into position. It was still dark.
Where were they on the stage?
Burley was back by the drums. James and Teddy were by the mic in the center of the stage.
And Larry?
Larry was off to the left, near me.
What happened then?
James played another chord. The flamethrowers, they shot up, straight up. And, That's when I heard...
What, Teresa?
I heard Larry scream. The flames on my side of the stage hit the ceiling, and there was like a big flash. It was on fire. And soon the whole ceiling, it fell on his head, and he was on fire.
Jack turns and looks at the jury, then goes to his seat. Teddy's attorney stands and buttons her suit coat.
How was it you came to be standing backstage?
I know some of the guys in the band.
One in particular?
Teddy.
And he invited you backstage to his dressing room, did he?
Teresa nods slightly, and Jack leans forward in his seat.
Please speak up.
Yes. But I know for a fact that he didn't rig the flamethrower.
How can you be sure?
Because I was with him the whole time until they started playing.
And where exactly were you and Mr. Connor?
We were in the band's tour bus. He and I were... You know.
You're going to have to be more specific.
We were screwing, okay?
Teddy leans over in his seat.
That's not what she told the cops.
This isn't a game, Teresa.
I'm telling the truth.
Then why didn't you tell anyone before?
I'm 18 years old. I live at home. My mother...
Why are you doing this?
Because that's what happened. She thinks I'm a virgin. I'm not.
Do you think he gives a damn about you?
What do you care?
It's wrong, Carrie. If he started that fire, if he killed all those people...
He didn't. He was with me in the tour bus. He couldn't have done anything to the flamethrower.
Teresa's mother looks at her. In the courtroom.
Of course I'd like to play bigger places. I mean, what musician wouldn't? But, you know, lighting some joint on fire, that's no way to get there.
So you never asked Nick Stoller to increase the flames?
Hell, sure I did. I mean, I asked if we could, you know, because that fire, man, it would get my adrenaline pumping, you know, get that adrenaline blasting, you know, made for a better gig, you know, but he says that's as high as we can go. I believe him.
No questions asked.
That's right. You know, I mean, that's what I pay him for. I know this is dangerous, and I loved Larry. I love this band, you know. I'd be nothing without them and my fans.
So your sound man, Mitch Selman, he was lying on the stand when he said that you asked him to increase the flames.
Yes, he was. I mean, I don't know why he'd want to do that to me, but he was lying.
And before the show, where were you?
Well, like the girl said, you know, I was in the bus. Me and her.
Teddy nods.
A girl. You don't know her name.
Play a lot of cities, man.
And there are lots of nameless, faceless ports in the storm.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's part of the gig, you know, sex and drugs and rock and roll. Gave up the drugs about 10 years ago.
But not the sex.
Not till I die.
What about the rock and roll?
Well, that's why I live, you know? Nothing in the world like being on stage in front of people that love my music, you know, nothing between me and them.
Except the wall of fire.
It turns them on. I mean, rock is spectacle.
The bigger the fire, the bigger the spectacle.
That's right. You know, I mean, my fans want it, I give it to them.
Even though there aren't as many as there used to be.
They're still out there.
That's right. What was I thinking? You did bring, what, 300 people to that club?
We sold it out.
With people who love your music.
That's right.
With people who would do anything to protect you.
Objection.
Sustained.
You know what, man? They would do anything. Because we were gods. They worshipped us. You know, they slept in line for days to hear us. You know, they sat in the mud, they sat in the rain.
Must be difficult when all that worship disappears.
Only it didn't.
Well, at least not for one teenage girl, anyway.
I was in that bus with her.
I'm sure you were. Tell me, Mr. Connor, how old are you?
52.
Teddy glares at Jack, who turns and goes to his seat.
Thank you. We'll be back by now.
Don't worry, Teddy Connor looked like a pitiful has-been willing to do anything to recapture his past.
And Teresa Drozzi looked like a groupie willing to say anything to protect her idol.
Let's hope the jury sees it that way.
Serena answers the phone.
Mr. Branch's office. Fine. Judge Burns would like to see you first thing tomorrow morning.
The jury has requested they be read the entirety of Teresa Joyce's testimony. Any objections?
Does it make a difference that she's lying through her teeth?
Isn't that for a jury to decide?
I'll repeat my question. Are there any objections?
No, Your Honor.
Not for me, Judge.
Now, wasn't that easy?
Burns watches the attorneys stand and move toward the door.
Just a thought, Your Honor. Who's going to be reading the transcript in the jury room?
My clerk.
Mr. Rodriguez.
That's right.
Then I do have an objection. The emotional nature of her testimony might be obscured by a man.
Oh, come on, her words are her words.
Yes, but her credibility depends on how those words are reenacted to the jury.
I'm not going to go out and hire another clerk for this, Counselor.
I'm not asking you to. The cameras in the courtroom filmed the entire proceeding. Why don't we let them actually see Teresa Drosy's testimony?
Absolutely not.
Other than the 5 pounds the camera adds to her, give me one good reason.
The cameras in and of themselves violate the statutory language. To actually allow their use in the proceedings would compound that violation exponentially. It's reversible error.
Last time I checked, we were after accuracy.
And you believe every image you see in the 6 o'clock news?
You know what, Jack? We've got a horse. We might as well get what we can from her mouth.
Jack stiffens.
She's still lying?
We were screwing, okay? To be honest, I can't tell anymore. Can you tell me if this is a reasonable doubt?
Serena rewinds the tape.
And where exactly were you and Mr. Connor?
We were in the band's tour bus. He and I were... You know.
You're gonna have to be more specific.
We were screwing, okay? Well?
Look at her eyes.
She's embarrassed.
No, if she were embarrassed, she'd be looking down.
Okay, she's proud she slept with her hero.
Then I'd think she'd look at him. I don't think that's pride on her face. I think that's defiance. She's looking directly into the back of the gallery. Who was sitting there?
Her mother.
Her doting, overprotective mother.
Who didn't want her to go to the concert in the first place. Do you really think she'd lie on the stand to provoke her mother?
You were once a teenage girl, you tell me.
I'll round them all up.
No, not yet. I'm thinking we ought to try a little one-on-one first.
Stuyvesant College.
I said in court what happened.
I think you said what you wanted to have happened.
Well, you're wrong, then.
I've been there, Teresa.
You slept with a rock star.
No. But I had a mother.
I don't know what you mean.
A mother who dragged me to church every Sunday and who thought that sex was something that should only happen between husband and wife.
You were so off base.
Am I? Because I saw your mom. I saw the look she had in her eye when you said that you slept with Teddy.
So?
So it's the same look my mom had when I came home from my junior prom at 6 a.m. Nothing happened, but I kind of liked her assuming the worst.
I don't know why she wants to help him.
On the other hand, maybe she's telling the truth.
No. I mean, Teresa's not like that.
If that's the case, I wonder if her lies were meant more to hurt you than to help him.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm a father, Miss Drosy. I know the battles that go on between teenage girls and their mothers.
Terry and I, she loves me.
Now is not the time to be some kind of puritanical hero, Miss Drosy. If there's any chance Teresa was with Teddy...
No!
Then I can and will bring criminal charges against her.
For what?
I'll start with perjury and move on to abetting 23 counts of murder.
She didn't do anything.
She's helping Teddy Connor cover up any number of felonies. If you know why...
Because she's a stupid little... Look, she's lying. I know she's lying.
Why is it so hard for you to believe that he'd sleep with me? That's not what I'm saying.
There are a lot of guys that are interested in me.
I'm sure there are. Look at him, Teresa. Is Teddy Connor someone
who... He's a great musician. He's a genius. He writes all of the band's music.
I am sorry, but that is hardly a reason to throw your life away.
What are you talking about?
Perjury is a crime, Teresa. So is accomplice after the fact. If Teddy Connor gets away with this because of your lying, Jack McCoy is going to take his anger out on someone.
You're going to have to prove I lied then. And you can't do that.
Teresa walks away. Later, Serena's with Arthur.
Well, if it's any consolation, it looks like the jury's as confused as we are.
Only I'm not confused. Teresa Drosy all but told me she was lying.
Did you tell her she could spend her 20s in Ossining on us?
She's protecting a musical genius.
Let me ask you both something.
hypothetical mother is told that all she has to do to keep her daughter out of prison is say that said daughter slept with a hypothetical rock star. Yet that mother refuses to do that. Why?
To protect her baby's good name?
She is going to prison.
Well, if the hypothetical rock star was particularly disgusting.
Jack raises his eyebrows.
Oh, my God.
Jack nods.
I think now's the time to round them all up.
Later, in the DA's conference room.
The jury out this long, why would I consider a deal?
I'm not here to offer a deal.
Look, we were together, like she said.
Oh, come on, what would she be doing with a has-been like you?
Ask her, do you know how many records I've sold?
I know how many records you sold in the last 10 years. I think your fans finally caught on to you, Mr. Connor.
Right.
Actually, people who know about these things tell me you were never that good in the first place.
Those people would be wrong.
Why else would you need the gimmicks? If you don't have talent, light up the stage. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out.
If you don't have a deal on the table, why should we sit here and be insulted?
You just don't get rock and roll.
Apparently you don't either.
Stop! Leave him alone!
I know you're good. The odds are good he's going to go to prison no matter what you say, Teresa. Speak up now or you're going to join him.
Teresa looks down.
Well, at least you have one fan, Mr. Connor. How many other pseudo-stars can say they have a fan willing to go to jail for them? The shame of it all is, it won't do any good.
23 life sentences running consecutively is going to be the best you're going to get.
That's if the jury's feeling generous. The flip side of that coin is a needle.
Stop. Please, please stop. Teddy didn't light the fire. It was me.
Shut up, Teddy.
Mom, it was. It's true.
Teddy, damn it.
Teddy looks at Teresa's mom. Jack looks at her as well.
If you have something to say, Mrs. Drozzi.
It's Miss. One stupid night. I should have had my head examined.
It was nothing for you. But for me. For us.
Teresa looks at her mom, then at Teddy.
I don't know what's going on here. I don't want to know. Come on, Teddy. We'll take our chances with the jury.
He just gave you his DNA, baby. He was never a father. You don't owe him anything.
Forget her.
How dare you? Do you think giving her a couple of tickets twice a year gives you the right to ruin her life? Look, I did it, Mr. McCoy. I loaded the flamethrower. I didn't know that Larry or the ceiling. I didn't think.
You don't have to do this for him.
But I did it, Mom.
Miss Drozzi shakes her head. Teresa turns to Teddy.
I heard you say to Nick that you wanted more fire. I thought that if you were on top again.
Teresa's eyes well up.
Maybe then you...
She looks at Teddy longingly. Teddy turns to his attorney.
We're done here.
He looks at Jack as he leaves. Jack looks around the room as Teresa bites her lip.
Teresa's lawyer wants to plead.
What are you going to do?
Talk to him.
Is that sympathy I hear?
My father, the only one of my tennis matches he actually came to, he spent doing paperwork. It didn't make me love him less. It just made me try that much harder to make him love me more.
Were you successful?
You should see my backhand.
Serena, Arthur, and Jack enter an elevator.